We're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, talking today with Manhattan Mayor Yusha Reddy and City Manager Ron Fear as we continue our preview of tonight's Manhattan City Commission meeting. They meet at 7 o'clock, and of course, you can stream those a number of ways on the Facebook page for the City of Manhattan, also on the city's website, which is cityofmhk.com/TV, or if you have Cox Cable, just tune your television to Channel 3 tonight. And kind of a short action agenda here tonight, but just a couple of items on the general agenda. And we previewed item A. Let's go to item B next. And that comes, looks like it's an ordinance here for a rezoning of a property over by the Flint Hills Job Corps property.
It is, Brandon. It's in the Amherst Industrial Park or Business Park area. This is a business that has operated a car sales and also maintenance facility that has relocated their car sales area over to kind of the frontage road along K-18 and therefore are wanting to rezone their existing lot in the Amherst Business Park from a C-6 category, because they're not selling anything there, to an I-3, which is what the vast majority of the property is in that business park. So they're still wanting to do car maintenance activities there, and so that does fit with the overall plan. And it was previously zoned that before it was turned into a commercial operation. So it's pretty straightforward, and the planning board has reviewed it, and the board and staff do recommend approval.
All right, and it's be for an automotive detailing business, it looks like. Is it the same one that was there before, or is this a new business?
No, I believe it's the same one. They're just separating their sales from their maintenance and detailing.
All right. Mayor Reddy, did you have something?
Yeah. No, I mean, it looks simple enough. Like I said, we'll see what happens at discussion with the other city commissioners. But I think this is transitioning from one industrial district to another industrial district is good, as long as they're all still following the guidelines. And I'm glad they're kind of, I wouldn't say reinventing, but repurposing what they were doing. So I think this is, again, something that's good for the community.
Yeah. And a lot of times you'll see properties getting rezoned or redistricted for certain reasons. What specifically is the difference between a heavy commercial district to a light industrial district, per se?
Oh, generally, heavy would be more heavier manufacturing, or a lot of times you'll see different types of a lot more delivery type vehicles, just more that has maybe oil and gas operations. It's just something that has more a broader area that you want to make sure it fits in that particular zone. It doesn't interfere with residential properties, that sort of thing. So light industrial is just again, like this detailing business is a good example of that. Might be a distribution facility. There's just there's a lot more smaller type operations that fit in that light industrial. It's not a heavy production facility.
Gotcha. All right. Well, that pretty much wraps up the general agenda here tonight. And then there's several items on the consent agenda. Anything particular of note there?
Yeah, there's probably four we could talk about. Actually, Brandon, item B is for the commission to consider repealing an ordinance that has dealt with some factors that look at requiring certifications by various developers or property owners that want to expand their business and that are asking the city commission for benefit districts and special assessments be provided as a component of that development. So when it was originally adopted, it was meant to try and look at the commission work with the developer, but it's a proven benefit district, and it was meant to try and serve as a safety margin so that the developer can proceed and not default on that benefit district. So we've had a couple of developments that have fell into that category that the city, one of which purchased, and then we had to become a developer and still own some of those lots. So this was a provision that was to work and certify that the folks that were involved, the people that were involved, or the companies that were involved in those transactions didn't owe any were all caught up on their ad valorem property taxes and special assessments as a condition of that development occurring. It's had some of those unintended consequences in that you can't really separate a new development from like a local expansion, at a situation where you have some complex ownerships of medical offices, and then you have to have everybody that has an ownership interest in that property all do significant time and research on it. So we think that there are other safeguards in place that can help prevent some of the defaults potentially in the developer components, but we've had some discussion with the City Commission because it is very staff intensive. It's not something we charge a fee for. It puts some burden on the county to look up all of those records as well. And then you have to get individual signatures. And sometimes we have to do those over because somebody doesn't sign it the particular way that it appears on the deed. So it's really more of a to take care of some of the challenges and burdens that the process has. Wasn't really intended to create, but it has created, and we think there might be some other ways to put in some of those safeguards without this complex ordinance.
All right.
Another one would be to consider award of a contract with waste management. This is for refuse for city facilities, so mainly our dumpsters that we have at various facilities, our treatment plants, some of our parks, some of our other city facilities. That amount is $52,789.17 per year. That will cover a three-year period. And so, actually a two-year period, I should say. And that was a bid out that had a couple of different bidders, but Waste Management was the low bidder on that. We recommend approval. We also have a recommend award of a contract to Amino Brothers for some additional work on Fort Riley Boulevard. So obviously Fort Riley Boulevard is a challenge for traffic right now with the bridge replacement project and some of the storm sewer work we're doing down around 6th Street. And this area is targeted between the intersection at US 24 around to Juliet, quite a few panel replacement projects. It's a grant from KDOT in the amount of $300,000, with the city picking up the rest of it. About $279,000 would be the city's share. There were two bidders on that as well, with Amino being in the low bidder. It's a little bit more than the engineer's estimate, but we do think with the grant that we should proceed, and it's within 3% of the engineer's estimate. So we are recommending proceeding with that, but you will see some more orange cones barrels going up and traffic slowed down in that particular area. Final thing I would comment on the agenda is we do have a formal agreement with a company that's now called Link Your City, Inc. out of Cambridge, Massachusetts, for the operation of micromobility network companies. This is the e-scooters that we've been working with K-State on, that both the K-State and the city worked together to select Zagster. And Zagster now has been, Link has acquired Zagster. And so we think this is the best group, and this will put requirements on the company related to planning implementation and marketing and rider education related to safe riding and parking. There is a revenue sharing component of 25%, 25 cents per ride. Creates for insurance and liability coverage, indemnification of the city. They're planning to put 500 scooters in the community, 250 on city property, 250 on the university. The hours of operation are to be between 7 a.m. and 10 p.m. There will be geofencing requirements, including no ride zones, slow zones, and no parking zones, and preferred parking zones. And also customer service requirements for link to be accessible to the public for complaints and other information. So the ridership fees based on industry best practices on the initial launch will include a $1 unlock fee and a 15 cents per minute charge for the user to pay. It also provides for the ability for the link to set user penalties, including fees and or expulsion of a user for not complying with the rules and or data sharing and monthly reporting requirements.
I was going to say that in particular sounds exciting. I had a chance to ride a similar thing here in Kansas City last week at down at Union Station, and boy, that's I had a lot of fun on that. That was pretty cool.
Good deal. I did. There is actually another item. The Downtown Farmers Market is requesting an amendment to their agreement. Of course, they're located down at the mall parking lot there on the Dillard side, and they do that on Saturday morning or on Saturdays, and they're asking for a Wednesday evening ability to operate the farmers market, and this would be Wednesdays from 4 to 7 p.m. in that same town center lot, and that would run from June 17th through the end of October.
All right, yeah, lots of good stuff here. Well, that's good news. And how has the farmers market gone so far? As far as I know, there's additional restriction in place here probably for social distancing. Have you had any issues with that?
Mayor Ray? Not aware of any formal complaints. I think at any time, I think the folks associated with Farmers Market have worked to try and certainly educate their folks that are selling at the Farmers Market, as well as the vendors, as well as the shoppers, to try and practice social distancing, wearing masks. So I think if anybody could look at their operation and say, we can do better. And certainly we would just encourage folks to continue to practice good social distancing and wear a mask and wash your hands often. I know that they're taking extra sanitary and cleaning steps in those functions as well.
Do we have time? Or are you going to break?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think with the e-scooters, we've been working on this contract and discussions for, I think, at least 2 or 3 years now. So I'm glad that's happening. It'll be a good pilot program to see how it happens in Manhattan, especially as students come back to campus and how everybody manages, making sure they're not left on the streets and who gets, how the whole fee structure works and all of that. So I think, like I said, that's a good pilot program to see how also we are going to enforce everything. And when I think about enforcement, even whether it's with the farmers market or anything that's going on in the community, I see very few adhering to guidelines that are being presented, but we also don't have an enforcement mechanism in place. So there aren't really any consequences if you're not adhering. Except for, little complaints here and there that people talk about. But I think that's why even if you have a great plan, it's hard to follow. And even if it's hard to follow, we don't have anybody, there isn't, like I said, an enforcement mechanism. We had a wonderful baseball tournament over the weekend. I'm sure their plan was approved for everything. But when I went and saw everything, there was no social distancing, there was no face mask, there was nothing going on. Everybody was having a wonderful time, and that's what we want. But at the same time, We're in this challenging time when it feels good, everything looks okay, so everything must be all right. And because this is an invisible virus, we don't feel we are being impacted, and it's okay if we, you know, really don't have to follow the guidelines. So I'm wanting to constantly talk about the guidelines and how important it is to follow them. But there isn't, nothing is required, and nothing, there isn't anybody to say, here's a fine or here's a citation or anything like that going on. So I think we're just going to see more people moving on with life as normal, even though we'll keep saying this is what you need to be doing. So it concerns me a lot. As all of the businesses come on board, as much as I want them to thrive and be successful, I really wish there was a little bit more compliance to what we are putting out there from KDHG, from Ramsey County Health Department, from the Manhattan Clinical Task Force, everybody in place. So strongly recommend people follow, you know, six feet social distancing, face masks, wash your hands often, things of that sort. But yeah.
Yeah, certainly. Well, I'll tell you what, let's take a break and we'll come back and we'll wrap things up here with Mayor Reddy and City Manager Fear. You're listening to In Focus on News Radio KMAN.